The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38. From Miletus, Paul sent men to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the very first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. So now, brethren, I commend to you God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus Christ is the Saviour of mankind. Jesus is fundamental in all our preaching. But we dare not omit to tell the people that Jesus also to be an example for us. Jesus himself tells us that we should do as he has done. Peter declares that Jesus has left us an example. Christians should repeatedly be encouraged to follow the example of Jesus Christ, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts and they be rooted and grounded in love. However, the Bible also teaches that we should be imitators of holy men of God. Paul tells the Philippians that they have him as an example to follow. The Corinthian Christians are urged to follow Paul. Peter tells the elders to be examples to the congregation. The letters to the Hebrews tells members to follow the faith of those who have ruled over their souls. Today we should let one of these holy men of God be an example to us as we are encouraged to be as faithful as Paul. May the Lord bless our meditation. So firstly, faithful service in your labours. Paul was a labourer. He taught the people. He imparted knowledge to enlighten their understanding. The substance of his teaching was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached God's law, but especially faith toward our Lord Jesus. Paul declared to the hearers the whole counsel of God. He did that publicly and privately from house to house, never wearing to warn everyone individually. Surely, Paul faithfully performed the duties of teaching the people, a duty God had assigned to him as a called preacher of Jesus. Not many are called by the Holy Spirit to be overseers of God's flock, but each one of us has some duty assigned to him by God. Whatever it may be, let us be as faithful in doing our duty as Paul was, even if our field of service is not as great as that of Paul. Those having only one talent are expected to faithfully use the one talent given to them. God does not judge by amount of work, but by degree of faithfulness. Are you a father or a mother? Parenthood brings with it certain duties toward children God has given you. You shall not love your children more than God. You shall rule well your own household. You shall not provoke your children to anger. You shall bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The importance of these duties, God requires only faithfulness. God does not expect a one-talent parent to do what a ten-talent parent can do, but he does want the one-talent parent to use faithfully his one talent, and the ten-talent parent to use faithfully his ten talents. Paul was undoubtedly a ten-talent man. Paul would have been unfaithful had he used only one or two of the ten talents God had given him. And we, are we doing faithfully what we can as parents? We are Christians. As Christians, we have duties. Listed among these duties is to have compassion for one another. We should weep with those who weep. If one Christian suffers, all Christians suffer. This is not something one may do or leave undone, as Matthew chapter 18 easily shows in the parable of the unmerciful servant. God commands us to have compassion towards other people, but he does not expect the same amount of compassion from each one. All he asks is that we faithfully use our God-given abilities to be compassionate. Are we doing that? Are we striving to be as faithful in the work we have to do as Paul was in the work that God gave him to do? So secondly, faithful service in your suffering. Paul was a sufferer. Remember, he had a thorn in the flesh. He was beaten with many stripes and physical sufferings. These physical sufferings were severe. Worse were the sufferings he endured because he could not do what he wanted to do. God's Spirit compelled him to cancel his plans to go to Jerusalem. But he will do the Spirit's bidding, even though he knows that afflictions await him. And how his heart must have bled when he foresaw the future of the Ephesian congregation. When he is gone, wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. These false teachers will speak perverse things, divide the church, cause factions to arise, and draw away the disciples from Jesus Christ. What he had built up in 3 years, these false teachers from the outside will cause strife, and Paul will have to suffer. What will hurt still more is that the Ephesian congregation, there are those who, as soon as Paul is gone, will talk twisted, distorted, perverted stuff, corrupting purity of faith, disturbing the harmony of the congregation, performing scandalous sects and schisms. To know that the Ephesian congregation would be torn asunder, especially by wolves in sheep's clothing, by enemies within, and to be powerless to hold its indeed suffering, whose severity is known only to those who have experienced it. However, Paul was faithful in his suffering. Willingly he went where God sent him, even though it meant severe suffering. Patiently he endured his sufferings. Not one word of complaint or murmur against God do we find in his parting words to the Ephesian elders. Prayerfully he approached the suffering, asking God to lead him, to make him willing to do as God willed. Trustingly, he went into his sufferings, positive that God knows what is best and orders all things well. We also have sufferings. Some are physically sick, chronic ailments, painful sicknesses. The earth is a hospital in which every person, because of his sin, is a patient. Others are worrying about the future. They wonder what they will eat or drink tomorrow. They fear they will lose their job. Some imagine the worst about their children. They fear for the future of the country. They burden themselves with unnecessary cares. Or they are grieving about the death of a loved one, a wayward child, an unhappy love affair. Or they worry about impending bankruptcy and possible disgrace. Combined with the physical and mental sufferings are often spiritual sufferings. Some people doubt that God loves them. Some people think their sins are too great and too many to ever be forgiven. Some say, I doubt very much that God answers prayers. He does not answer mine. Some people are certain they have committed the unforgivable sin and will not firmly believe that they can be saved. Some people cannot understand why God's children must undergo sorrows. They believe God does not care whether they perish. Do you need any additional facts to be presented to prove the truth of Christ's statement, "In the world you will have tribulation"? Whatever our suffering may be, let us be faithful as Paul was in his suffering. May we be willing sufferers. Why be so foolish as to think we know better than God? God has chosen us to be his soldiers, and as such we should be ready to endure hardships. And if the purpose of the suffering is not understandable to us, may God help us to say with Jesus in Gethsemane, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Yes, willingly, let us submit to God's plan and ways for us. May we also be patient sufferings. Let us put away every inclination to murmur and complain. Unto the bitter end, let us endure every hardship. In our sufferings, we become weary and faint in mind. May there be on our lips the prayer, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Especially, let us plead that long-suffering be given to us in rich measure when afflictions do come, so that it may be said of us that we are as patient as Job. Let us be praying sufferers, especially in hours of great distress. It should not be said that we have not, because we have asked not. God says that in trouble we should call upon him. Jesus did so in Gethsemane, and it produced results. Let us be trusting sufferers. Even though other people think otherwise, may we always regard our sufferings as a furnace in which God tests our faith and strengthens it and makes it known. May we always regard our sufferings as an instrument that God uses to have us cease from sin, increase in holiness, and fill us with a longing for heaven. Finally, let us be joyful sufferers. Let us rejoice that suffering keeps us close to God, that sufferings are of short duration, and that our sufferings shall soon be changed into joy. And what a joy that will be. So thirdly, faithful service in your loves. Paul loved his fellow men. He showed his love by keeping back nothing profitable to them, by preaching to them the one thing needful for time and eternity, namely repentance and faith, and by urging them to take heed unto themselves so that the false prophets would not lead them astray. He showed his love by admonishing them to remain loyal, and doing that continually for a space of 3 years, by commending them to the care of God and his word, assuring them that all would be well if they did so, by giving them an excellent example to follow, and by praying with them and for them. He especially shows his love for them when he says he is preaching to them the whole counsel of God, not to get their silver and gold, but for their own profit. Yes, he was ready to pay his own bills, so one could say he was not preaching because he loved money. Paul also loved God. He showed his love by his readiness to serve God, not for financial reasons and not for reasons of glory and honour, but rather with lowliness of heart and mind. Paul was a learned man, for he studied under Gamaliel, but he made no attempt to show his knowledge. Paul showed his love for God sacrificially, ready to go into death if necessary for Christ's sake. Truly, Paul was faithful in his love toward man and God. So let us be faithful as Paul was. Let us love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Love should not be a mere sentiment. Those people do not love who do not show love. Remembering the many things Paul did to show his love, let us strive to imitate him. Let us show our love for our fellow men by removing their physical needs, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. But let us show it especially by making it impossible for them to say that we do not care for their soul. Let us not fear to tell them that they are sinners. Peter did that on Pentecost Day, and it brought thousands to their knees, anxiously crying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The law will do the same today. And when people ask us how to be saved, we can show them no greater love than telling them of Jesus Christ, through whom alone they can be saved, urging them to aspire to a greater degree of holiness, to lay apart filthiness, to lay aside malice and envies and hypocrisies, to follow after righteousness, godliness, patience, meekness, and to put more fully on the new man, to be blameless and harmless, and the sons of God. Let us show our love of them by praying for them, not only for physical relief, but is special for their salvation. In showing our love, let us never forget everyone who is in need of help is our neighbour. If we love only those who love us, what reward do we have? Love even your enemies, the scripture says. May our love never have a selfish motive. May we love our neighbour as you love ourselves, and do it because Christ first loved us. Let us also love God. Let us love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Let us show our love to him by obeying him. We should delight to do his commandments. Furthermore, we should show our love by serving him in the purest of motives. We should not serve for financial gain or the applause of men. Fully realizing the imperfection of our love, we ask God to accept our weak service of love for Jesus' sake. So as you can see, Paul has left us a fine example. Let us imitate him who imitated Christ, and let us be faithful unto death. And at the end of his life's journey, Jesus, who was always faithful to his promises, will say to us who are striving to be faithful in a few things, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.